Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Banti, greetings from San Francisco. I guess we are both in this same situation of working from home and, the big story, of course, is coronavirus. You got back from India just a little over a week ago, right before, I think things ramped up and became pretty severe, right?
Correct. Both in London and in San Francisco, we are in kind of a state of lockdown. And it's very interesting when people talk about house arrest. Obviously, we are not in house arrest. It's like, feels like soft house arrest because I've been at home for a week. And there are many bits of it that I like, which is to be at home and not to have to travel for work. But obviously, there is a nominal amount of companionship and friendships that we have at work, which you tend to miss out when you're at home. So we've been doing a lot of work remotely and trying to keep the wheels of the business turning. But I guess it's the same. It's a strange time for a lot of people. And I think India has gone into mandatory working from home in the private sector. Will have its own. I think the one thing to talk about, maybe we should talk about, is this idea of working from home, because in India it has always been approached with a nudge and a wink that, basically, because your domestic tasks are done by bhais or mausis, right? Working from home essentially is sutta bina chai lagana, bah jaake gap marna. So there's kind of this whole like proxy holiday. That is practice, right?
Although I would say that in the every Indian office I worked in,
yeah,
a lot of time was wasted on those things in office also. Six chai breaks, lot of gas.
Not working from office as opposed to working from home.
Working from home is the same as not working in office. Plus, guys used to escape, you know, because it was a way of, for guys especially, and the Indian workplace has, skewed male and continues to be sort of, I think, very biased in troubling ways, but guys, they would just like dodge responsibilities of, getting the kid to do homework and contributing to any household chores. And the women, in many cases, would also be working. So, the woman is coming back at 6 and the guy's giving gas that, there's a lot of extra work to do. But the boss, the point is 2 hours extra work from 6 to 8 because you faffed around between, 9:30 and 6, right? And, I mean, I've heard these conversations. I remember, guys giving utter gas about irrelevant things. What should the UN do about some issue? Or, this is the problem with Tendulkar stance and all.
But I think it's very interesting. As India kind of gears up for working from home, I don't know in the intervening period since we've left India to be working abroad, we have a view on the level of trust that employers or bosses have with their kind of direct reports or team members in terms of how, when you say work from home, what that means. And there's a focus on outcome rather than process. So if you say that you're working from home and you basically manage to get things done in by the end of the day, nobody's going to do a material count of whether you actually had worked 8 of those hours to get that done or 1 of those hours to get that done, as long as it got done, right? I think my conjecture is that in the Indian frame of things, there is a lot of time, I don't know what the trust level is, right? So when people say that you'll be working from home, will there be a kind of the baniya mindset kicking in that, I'm paying the guy for 8 hours, I want to... Because such a lot of work is about performing, right? Performing the monkey dance that, you are at work and doing work-like things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You take that away through a combination of the strange situation that we are in, that, you literally can't step out outside your house for fear of life.
Plus, it can't be pleasurable, right? Work is not supposed to be pleasurable. That if a guy is too happy or a guy seems too relaxed, and then it means you're not giving him enough work, right? So give him some more. Like everyone, it's a certain kind of Puritanism. Yeah, so India, I you know, we had done an episode which I don't think we uploaded, and I think I'm to blame for that, but it was about the suspicious mentality of Indians, right? And I also have it to a certain extent, right? Which is why I'm like very, very cagey about trying out Airbnb. Because, you know, straight away I have nightmare scenario of, you know, some real kind of low life coming in and, you know, all those fears, na, property hadap lega, you know, he'll try to steal something. And I know my brother also, when he's gone, when he was in grad school here in the US, if any would travel, he was very cagey, I mean, very reluctant to sublet his apartment because, you know, he was just very worried about the tenants leaving it in a bad state. Indian offices, I think some things haven't changed, that everyone is operating on the assumption that everyone else is basically out to cheat, take shortcuts. So I remember when I worked a job as a copy editor in a publishing house, there was the HR guy, and I don't even know why he was called the HR guy, but he was some like ex-army guy at a very low level, Subedar or something, but he used to dress up in army-esque clothes. He would control the number of pencils you got for editing. And, you know, like, editing is, if there's one thing that you need in a healthy amount, it's pencils. But, you know, cheap kind of, like, admonitions that last week you took two pencils, can you sharpen less? And I was just so annoying.
Well, let's turn the conversation to the... I mean, obviously, the temptation is to talk about the grim things, like, you know, mortality... hand washing and things. And I know there are other outlets who have done this to kind of death, and no pun intended. I think for our part, what we are trying to figure out is what will be the day-to-day impact. I mean, one of the things that people haven't talked about on the slipstream of Wuhan is there was a spike in domestic violence and divorce in prolonged cohabitation. Cohabitation is the wrong word. Prolonged exposure to each other. Let's put it that way, in a couple situation. Because, you know, often people forget that, you know, part of what sustains relationships is that for about 10 hours of the day, you're not in each other's face. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think in India, that is even, in any part of the world, that is the case. And in India, it's compounded if you're living with elderly relatives, whether it's your parents or uncles or in a joint family setup. You have this kind of social camouflage around which you can duck and dive and, mm-hmm. you know, negate whatever amount of dysfunctionality there is. Mm. So one of the things that people have picked up in Wuhan is domestic violence. And funny, my sister was mentioning this because she did some work with the UN, and she works at the UN, and she was saying that nobody talks about this, but in kind of this self-isolating, mm-hmm. Self-isolating with essentially an abusive partner or something in a domestic context, that is pretty grim. So mm-hmm. there are a range of other kind of, offbeat, like working from home is one aspect. How you get on with your spouse in on kind of a full-on basis is another aspect. The other thing is childcare, you know. Mm. A lot of Indian childcare, even as we were growing up with, is kind of go out there and play and come back on time to do your homework, right? Mm-hmm.
Totally, yeah. And I miss that model of parenting.
Yes, yes. So when that is taken away, the going out and play, how will kids cope? And is social media going to be a suitable adjustment for real people and real context? So those are some of the kind of rough topics that I thought I'd float by you.
Excellent point. I think the point that your sister made about, you know, the fact that these could be situations where if there is a power imbalance, if, you know, there is a person who's abusive, now you essentially have a situation where a person who's vulnerable is at the mercy of the other person. And, you know, I know that people who work in the field are probably addressing this and the helplines are there, but often, you know, if you had to call a helpline, you would do it when the abusive person's not around. Now, if that person is around, how do you even, you know, seek recourse to help, right? So you have to be that much more, you know, wary and so on. So yeah, this is a kind of major issue. As far as parenting goes in the West, especially in America, there is no choice but to be a helicopter parent. And that idea that there are these communities or spaces where kids can just run out and play, that doesn't exist anywhere here. I think it may exist either at a super privileged kind of level if, you know, there are these enclosures or communities which are very homogeneous. Everyone is from a certain, you know, billionaire or multimillionaire income level. Everyone knows everyone else. Everyone's vetted. There's some kind of security perimeter. Within that, you might have a few kids from these families playing. Or it happens at levels which are, you know, subaltern and very impoverished, where if it's a community of a public housing, for instance, there's just a bunch of kids playing because the parents either can't afford to supervise them or they're, you know, living in conditions of abjection. So, you know, my wife made a funny observation. She said that the day before this work from home order started, it's been about a week and a bit in the US, you know, the moms and dads, but more moms, I guess, were posting these schedules made for their kids and, you know, so looking forward to having Johnny at home and, oh, this is going to be fun. This is a Sunday evening. By Monday evening, it was like, you know, teachers are not paid enough. So, you know, it took all of 24 hours for like kids across America to get on their parents' nerves. So I think, you know, in some cases for us, for me, I've have the kind of job where I've worked 3 days a week. I go in 3 days a week, 2 days a week, I work from home. You know, I've spent large amounts of time with my son. Also, there are stretches of time in the winter and especially 3 months in the summer when I don't have a regular teaching schedule. So for me, it's been more of, you know, being in that mode 24/7. But I think for a lot of people, it is going to be completely new, especially, you know, there are people, there are friends we know whose kids from the time the kids have been in kindergarten, the kids have actually been dropped off at around 8:30 and picked up by around 5:30. So post-kindergarten, even five-year-olds have been in aftercare till about 5. And that's kind of been their default mode. And then, you know, they might have someone pick the kid up once or twice a week. And on weekends, they pack the schedule with external activities. And now they can't do the external activities and the kids at home. So I think for some people, it's a bigger shift. But still, it is a challenge, you know, keeping kids busy. And, you know, at my end, I'm going out for a drive every day. So I wouldn't call it a silver lining because, you know, nothing in this is a silver lining. It's a horrendous situation, particularly for lots of people who are very vulnerable. And we'll talk about that in a second. But the roads are empty. So the driving is, you know, not a bother. And it's the pollution has cleared up. The skies are much clearer, literally with, you know, I'd say 80% of cars being off the street. So yeah, that's, you know, just to take it one day at a time and keep some kind of approximate schedule and just keep your chin up.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to end it. A couple of things for people who listen to this podcast on a regular basis. Obviously, we wish that you take every precaution that wherever you are in the world, whichever government is talking to you at that time, disregard fake or alternative sources of advice, listen to what local authorities are saying. I think the science knows how to resolve this better than, unstructured public advice. And there are many pundits out there who will be throwing their, you know, eat double dose of garlic, rub coriander up your forehead, or, you know, there's lots of things going around. I urge people who listen to us on this forum to kind of focus on public advice, public health advice. And the other thing I'd like to say in closing is that there are a lot of people in our situation, Rohit, where we are abroad and our parents are in India and they are old and vulnerable. And I just think that, and given that India is going locked down, I do hope that the community spirit that has been a strength in every city, in every mohalla, in every part of the country shines through, and people look out for each other. And obviously, hoping that, you know, people step in and help our aging parents and other aging folks in different parts of the in India as we would here. Those are my thoughts on Corona and this ongoing thing. And maybe we'll talk more about it as the weeks unfold.
Yeah, I think that's a really good note to end on, optimistic, positive note. I have a feeling that, you know, we will see some negative aspects of humanity, but I have a feeling that we'll see more positive aspects of humanity. I really think we'll see the best of people also, and in significant measure. And, you know, the main thing is not to panic about stuff, like not to hoard or do a bank run or, you know, be paranoid. And absolutely, I mean, the people I'd say I have the least respect for at this time are A, people spreading garbage on social media, B, these, you know, babas who are trying to say like Ramdev, you know, that boss, at this time, Tulsi, Imli, people, it's not going to, help you. So like the people who fall prey to this are often the most vulnerable. And then, you know, the hustlers who are trying to make a quick buck either by hoarding and arbitraging or just hustling people saying that, you know, this is special Ganga Jal and stuff. So, So we will have that scum component of people, but I think the majority of people will do the right thing. I think things are going to be fine. And yeah, we'll sign off on that note. And as you said, you know, we'll keep talking about things as they come up.
Okay, boss. So, take care.
Take care, man. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.